Thinking your chronic back pain was caused by an old sports injury? You could be painfully wrong. It might be an inflammatory condition called ankylosing spondylitis, or AS. Stay tuned, because later in the show, we'll tell you more. This message is brought to you by AbbVie.
Welcome to the Rubbing the Passion Podcast, second edition this week. I already talked to Pete Prisco before the election. No, it's post-election. And you're sitting there wondering, what can I do to help stimulate the economy? Well, let me tell you guys, here's what you can do. You can win some money. How about some money, Nick? You want to make these people some money?
I love making people money. In fact, we are going to make wallets great again with our performance this weekend.
Make America rich again. That was a direct hijack of Tom Fornelli. It's fine.
Sorry, Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy, listen to me. You should be listening, Tom. Aren't you listening?
Yeah,
you can,
Tom.
You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes, Stitcher, however you want to do it. Leave a comment. Leave a review. If you want to tweet us with questions about games, about over-unders, about lines that have moved, about things we like, because obviously it changes as it goes through the week, at the Costas for Nick, at Will Brinson for me. Your picks will be up on Sportsline. Is that right?
I'll make my super contest picks. I'll put up on Sportsline on Sunday.
Yeah. So they'll be up on Sunday. My season long, I'll put my best bets up tomorrow morning. I think they did pretty crappy last week. I went 3-9. This is my second week with, not in a row, but the season with under 5 wins. That's for the full.
Bro, what's going on with you?
It's vacillating wildly. I can't find any consistency. Usually I'm like 8-8-8-8-8-8.
Well, then, vacillating implies that you've done well at some points. It seems like you've been struggling quite a bit.
No, it's crazy highs and crazy lows. I think I'm leading CBS Sports against the spread.
I don't think you are.
Am I not? I mean, I might not be.
I know this because Jamie and Dave were arguing earlier about being number one and number two. Jamie Eisenberg and Dave Richard are fantasy experts.
Yeah, maybe they passed me. Like I said, I had a bad week. You know, I mean, look, you have bad weeks. But I think
I went 2-2-1
on your best bets.
Yeah, I'm 25-20 right now in the super contest. 6 games out of first place, which is not bad at this point in the season. Like, I'm not going to win most likely, but I got a shot to finish top 50 for sure.
That's not bad at all. 6 games out of first place is not bad at all. I'm 64-62-7. On the season, that's not great. So that means I'm bleep Dave. He's one game ahead of me. Come on, I've been winning the whole season. I had one bad week, 2 bad weeks.
Screw Dave.
All right, you know what? I'm getting hot this week, and I should have listened. Remember, we talked about this on the podcast last week. Remember, I wanted to change all my picks.
Yep.
I should have done that.
You should have.
I know. I should have just gone against the money. But you know what? We're gonna make some money. I haven't made my best bets this week. I'll make them on the podcast.
Cool. Take Trump +700 to win the election.
It was +600 like yesterday afternoon.
It's insane.
I just got to hit this. I got Cubs Game 7 World Series, Trump, and then Syracuse NC State. I got Syracuse on the money line. If I hit that, I win $10 million.
That's a hell of a parlay.
Yeah, really fortuitous of me to think about that back in April. Cleveland at Baltimore. This is the worst game.
What channel is this game on?
It's on NBC. If it's on CBS, we'd be my God.
Let me tell you, if it's
divisional
on CBS,
rivalry.
Talking about one of the great divisional games of all time. NBC, not so much.
Baltimore is -10 at home. I mean, I'll be honest. I assumed when the line came out and I saw it, I was like, okay, I don't really want to stomach taking the Browns, but everybody's going to be on the Ravens because of how bad the Browns looked against the Cowboys and just how bad they've been in general. But everybody's on the Browns because it's 10 points and the Ravens are terrible. I think it's a short week, double digit dog situation in a rivalry. I'm taking Cleveland. I can't talk myself into Baltimore.
Oh, I've talked myself into it.
Have you?
I'm just not taking bad teams. I'm trying to
avoid
bad teams.
See, but that's kind of, remember, that's where, this is what I said. I said on the podcast last week, and I was like, I'm not taking San Francisco. I'm done with it. I'm over. They're
well, I mean,
a garbage
I picked
team.
Them. I didn't take them as one of my best bets. Like, I didn't wager on them. But
no, but you know what I'm saying. Like, I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm over these guys. I'm over Cleveland. That's kind of where I'm at,
right,
too.
So would you agree with me that the two worst teams in the league,
it's not even close,
are Cleveland and San Francisco?
Yeah, it's not even close. There's
so let's say it's Cleveland, Gap, San Francisco, huge gap, and then the third worst team.
Yeah.
Accurate?
Yeah. And I don't think that gap between Cleveland and San Francisco is very far. Maybe in between.
Who would
that
win on a neutral field?
Alabama. I mean, is this a year where Alabama wins?
I mean, I think that Alabama, I mean, Cody Kessler is not beating the Alabama defense.
You'd rather have Jalen Hurd than Cody Kessler, right? And that Alabama defense is great. I hate when people do Alabama hot takes. I'm not sure it's a hot take. I think Alabama is just better than Cleveland.
Or it's like could American Pharoah beat the Knicks?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But I don't think I can take Cleveland or San Francisco the rest of the year. I don't even know who the third worst team is. The bottom line is these are the two worst teams in the league, and it's not close. You saw it last week. Dallas, a public darling, big road favorite, steamrolls the Browns in Cleveland. The Saints, a public favorite, and also with sharp money on New Orleans, pushing the Saints up to as high as -5 at kickoff. Go into San Francisco, easily cover the spread. I want no part of the Cleveland Browns on the road in a short week. No part of it. I'll lay the points with the Baltimore Ravens. It won't be one of my best bets, but there's no way I'm backing the Browns in this contest. I've had it with backing the Browns.
I have too, and I think that this is a situation like you and I subscribe to the same philosophies. Like, you know, a 10 point dog in a divisional game on a short week screams take the Browns, right? I mean, on a typical Thursday, but I think that we need to take, and this is what you're, I think what you're saying is we got to take Cleveland and San Francisco out of this standard equation and put them aside.
I think depending on what the situation is, who's home and who's on the road, what are they coming off of? Because I think, in all honesty, you feel better about the Niners coming off last week than you do about the Browns, because at least Kaepernick, like a semi-decent NFL quarterback last week. But, I mean, in this spot, I want nothing to do with it. Like I said, I'm not going to bet on it. It's not going to be one of my best bets. I'm not taking it in the contest, but I'm not picking the Browns again. Like, I have had it with the frickin' Cleveland Browns. I have had it with the Browns. I want nothing to do with the Cleveland frickin' Browns. Nothing.
By the way, the Ravens are terrible, too.
Terrible. The Ravens would beat Alabama 78-0. Yeah, the Browns would probably only win 17-6 over Alabama.
Browns are not covering over Alabama, I'll tell you that much. All right, moving to the Sunday games. Chiefs, I can't believe we spent that much time with the Browns. The Browns are so talkable for some reason. Chiefs at Panthers.
They're going 0-16.
They are. If they don't win this game, it's over. They got three games at home, but it's like Giants, Steelers, Ravens. I mean, it's over. Chiefs at Panthers. Panthers -3. I'll be honest. I know the Chiefs are great. I know the Chiefs are steady and slow and boring. I love the Panthers in this spot. Love the Panthers.
Here's my problem with
best bet.
The Panthers. Let me ask, are they your best bet?
Sure, why not? No, I don't know. I don't really know what my best bet is.
Could you envision a scenario where the Chiefs win the game?
Yeah, sure, totally.
Do you think it's very feasible?
I think the Chiefs are a good, boring, steady football team, but I think that they are not as good a football team as Carolina when Carolina's playing well.
Justin Houston's going to play, right?
Is he? I don't know.
Because he's back at practice. I don't know if that guarantees that he's going to play coming up on Sunday. They're about to activate him.
He's about to be activated. That's 3 hours ago. Which means he'll play, but he's probably on a limited snap count. Carolina's offensive line is a train wreck. But
D4 is gonna punish Cam Newton.
But they didn't have, when they were getting crushed by the Rams, they didn't have Ryan Khalil. That's a huge deal against that Rams team with Aaron Donald in the middle. You know, he's the guy, he's the veteran of the line. If they have Ryan Khalil back, I feel a lot better. The Panthers defense is playing outstanding the last 2 weeks.
And you know, you give Kawan Short and Charles Johnson a lot of credit. They look like they did in the playoff run.
Yes, exactly. They look like they did last year. I don't think Carolina's going to blow them out. I like Carolina to win it at home, coming off two straight wins. They know they got a little mojo. They got this game.
They have no mojo.
No, they got mojo. Dude, they are better in the second half under Ron Rivera.
They beat an overrated Cardinals team, and they barely squeaked by the Case Keenum-led Rams last week.
They're 2-0 out of the bye, and they're averaging 6 sacks a game.
Great, against the two teams that I just gave you.
They get KC and New Orleans, winnable games at home.
Better team, Kansas City or Arizona?
Kansas City.
Better team, Kansas City or the Rams?
Kansas City. Rams are terrible.
I rest my case.
I'm not saying it's not a better team. I'm just saying I like the Panthers. I'll take the Panthers.
I'll take the Chiefs with the points because I think Kansas City could easily win the game outright.
They could. So that's smart of you to take the points. Packers at the Titans. Titans +2.5. I don't care that you keep breaking my heart. Marcus Mariota, I'm just saying keep breaking my heart. And Mike Mularkey, give me the Titans to win the game straight up. Best bet.
Mariota, man, he The Titans really have been screwing me. They've screwed me a number of times.
Every
this
which way.
The incident against the Browns when they gave up about 97 points in the final 3 minutes made Cody Kessler
and
onsides like
that covered. And onsides that covered. Ugh.
And then last week against the Chargers, where really Mariota had the two turnovers that lead directly to touchdowns, that screwed me again.
I had the Chargers in that spot.
Everyone's betting on the Packers. The line has moved from 3 to 2.5. I hate taking the Titans in this spot. But again, we're betting numbers, not teams.
The Packers suck,
dude. Give me Marcus
dude.
Mariota and the Tennessee Titans to go to win this game outright.
The Packers suck. And I mean, like, I'm not trying to, again, that's kind of hot. The Packers suck. The Packers aren't a very good team. They just got lit up at home by the Colts. And I think that sometimes, you know, like you get in your own head, right? Like Donald Trump got in Nate Silver's head.
Remember when Nate Silver was a thing?
Yeah. But he's coming out like a winner. Anyway, we don't digress in the media stuff. People are like, I mean, Nate Silver, like he was right. It was closer than anticipated. It's like, nah, no, he was not right. He was wrong.
No, Nate Silver was wrong.
He was very, very, very wrong.
And not only that, because he was so arrogant about the prediction with Obama against Romney that he should have egg on his face for getting this one wrong.
Yeah, it was a bad
miss. Please, he said it's going to be, like 3 days ago, Hillary had an implied 86% win probability.
He had 70, this would be like if I was like, listen, Cleveland's 72% to beat the Ravens on Thursday.
Yeah, or like Cleveland's going to beat the Cowboys.
Yeah,
Cowboys kill them and you go, oh, well.
Well, I mean, obviously that was going to be closer, like going to be like further apart than people expected. I like the Titans straight up in this situation. I think the Packers are in their own heads. They're not doing anything right. They didn't target Ty Montgomery once in the first half. He ran 53 yards on 7 carries. Why'd you only give him 7 carries? This guy's the playmaker in this offense. I get that James Starks will be back, but that Titans defense is better than expected. And I saw Frank Gore moving the ball on the ground against the Packers defense that has good numbers but might not be great against the run. Derrick Henry might not be playing, but DeMarco Murray, big game. I like the Titans to win this outright.
Yeah, I hate doing it because I love Aaron Rodgers, but I got to do it with you. I'm with you, buddy. I'm taking the Titans as well.
Vikings at the Redskins. My. How the butter churns. The Vikings were such a popular team just 3 weeks ago. They are now 5-3 and underdogs in Washington against the Redskins, who are coming off a cousin-kissing trip to London. I almost said Las Vegas. But also
good usage there, given that the Redskins quarterback's last name is Cousins.
Yeah, Cousins kissing. Yeah, exactly. Pretty good.
Nice.
Huh? Thank you. The Redskins are going to be without Trent Williams, left tackle. They're probably starting Rob Kelly. I think that's a big factor. I feel like this is just Vegas saying, we're not really sure how this is going to play out, so we're going to make the home team a favorite. I don't like the Vikings anymore. I feel like everybody will be on the Redskins. I would like to zig where everyone else zags, whatever the case is on this game.
Yeah. Here's why I like the Vikings in this spot. It gets lost in the shuffle, right? People forget about what the Vikings actually did last week, right? So they get the ball at the end of the game, needing a touchdown to take the lead. Sam Bradford took the Vikings down the field, scored a touchdown, and took the lead with 20-some-odd seconds left. Matthew Stafford pulls the rabbit out of his hat. They end up ending the game to overtime on a 58-yarder, go down and score a touchdown. Vikings never see the ball on offense. I think we're talking about an entirely different scenario here. If the Vikings hold on and win that game, the Lions don't come back to force overtime and win, you're not getting the number Minnesota at this number, at a favorable number here. So I will take the Vikings here, and I feel very good about Minnesota going into Washington, winning this game outright. I think the Vikings defense is going to play really well. It may end up being one of my best bets, but I will definitely be taking the Vikings with the points.
I could actually get down with that explanation. I've got Washington. I'm looking at the expert picks.
Like, their defense is still really good.
That Trent Williams thing should not be discounted.
He's by far their best offensive lineman.
He's like one of the five best offensive linemen in the league. Yeah. I mean, now you're going to be missing your best left tackle. And you're shifting running backs. You know, Rob Kelly looked all right against Cincinnati, but I mean, you know, his nickname is Fat Rob, by the way. How great is that nickname?
It's really awesome, especially because he's not fat.
It's just Fat Rob. Yeah. And I see that we got 5-3 in terms of people picking Washington over Minnesota. I might lean back towards Minnesota. We shall see. You might have talked me into it. Falcons at Eagles. potential shootout here, 50 points over under. I don't know why it's a potential shootout. Are people expecting the Eagles to score a bunch of points as Doug Peterson runs a read option on fourth down or something?
What's up with Doug Peterson?
You had a good tweet on Sunday. You said, I think we may have inducted Doug Peterson into the Hall of Fame prematurely.
Yeah. Like the guy in the first 3 weeks of the season was the greatest play caller of all time. And now he's like a stone kid playing Madden at 4 o'clock in the morning. Like, here, let me go for it on fourth and two and run a quarterback sweep. Or hey, it's fourth and one. Let me run with my 5'6" running back straight into the middle of this Giants defense with two monsters in the interior with Hankins and Damon Snacks Harrison. Good job, good effort, Doug Peterson. And you lose by five and you eschew two field goals and it's the winning margin of the game. Good work.
Did the Carson Palmer read option work in practice? Because your defense is good,
Doug. I can't imagine them being like Doug Peterson being like, oh, man, if we get into a fourth and short situation, I know what we're going to do. We're going to run it with Carson Wentz.
I don't know if you read the column, my story of the Senate. I do like the weekly wrap-up column, but that was, I noticed it as soon as it happened. I was like, I'm screenshotting that. And I went and got a screenshot of it. I mean, Carson Wentz is 7 yards behind the offense or the line of scrimmage when there's five Giants defenders bearing down on him to finish his life. It's, what are you doing, Doug?
And it's like in Madden, right? Like if I call a play to the left-hand side, a run play, and the entire defense is on the left.
Audible! Switch it to the right!
That right analog stick to the right and run to the right or change my play, not run the damn play. Like Doug Peterson, bro. What are you doing, man? Like, are you kidding?
I think what you and I should do, I don't think we can do a podcast while we play Madden. We should Facebook Live playing Madden or something like that. Yeah.
Team will you use?
I'm really kind of a matchup guy. I'll go with the Chargers or the Panthers usually.
I'll use my team.
Who's your team?
G-Men.
The Giants? Okay, Giants-Chargers would be fun.
Cool. Done.
Okay. Or we'll just play.
What are you doing later tonight?
I think I'm watching South Park with my wife. But
what time is South Park?
10 o'clock. We could squeeze one in. Let me put my kid down and we'll text about it. Fascinating podcast. Oh, yeah. Who do you like, Eagles or Falcons? I like the Falcons. Screw the Eagles. They're terrible.
Bro, I thought that I had taught you. I thought that I had gotten through.
You think it's an obvious
Eagles
play?
I thought that my baby boy was all grown stuff. I guess I was wrong. Of course you take the Eagles.
Oh, no, wait. you'll like this. I'm the only one taking the Eagles in the expert picks page.
So what do you talk about the Falcons?
I like the Eagles again. Hey, whatever, you know?
The Eagles are the only pick in this game. A lot of money, obviously, on Atlanta. A major public side. The game's a pick 'em. It's a no-brainer to take the Eagles in this spot.
This is similar to the Philly Steelers spot before. Made no sense. You look at the two teams and you say, my goodness, that one team is better than the other. And yet, I'm with you. I mean, look, it's where I want to be.
It'll be one of my best bets, Philly.
I picked the picks on Tuesday morning. So yesterday morning, I'm delirious at this point. I stayed up all night. My kid got sick at 4 a.m. after I'd stayed up till 3 a.m. watching that stupid election. Actually, it was fascinating television. I'm with you. I like the Eagles too. And everyone else likes the Falcons, which should make you feel good. Buccaneers -1 hosting the Bears, 2-6 and 3-5. What a horrible pair of football teams.
The Lovie Smith ball. Like Lovie Smith Lovie Smith should be calling plays in this game. And after the game, he should have the ceremonial press conference where he declares Rex Grossman is still his quarterback.
I took the Bears on this one. Don't know if I like it. I kind of want to ride with. By the way, have you looked at the Buccaneers' schedule? They're not winning another game. If they don't win this game, they're not winning another game.
I mean, they're not good. I do think though they'll be pretty good next year when they get players better suited for what the defense Mike Smith wants to run. There's just not a lot of talent there.
I think
I actually saw a couple of things today on Jameis saying, you know, he's 9-15 in his career on his start. He was saying he's not a loser. I don't think Jameis is a loser. I think the guy's going to be a great quarterback, and I think they'll be good next year, but this year is obviously bad. I do think that they'll win this game, though, playing at home, especially if Doug Martin back at practice on Wednesday in a limited role. If he plays on Sunday, I definitely like Tampa Bay. Without him, I don't know if I feel as good because Jacquizz Rodgers is out and Charles Sims is out, and Peyton Barber, who's not the best player in Buccaneers history with the last name Barber, I would not take the Buccaneers, or I wouldn't feel as good about it at that point. But with Doug Martin back, I would lay the points with Tampa Bay, or lay the point.
All right, so here's the remaining schedule after this Bears game, right? Next week, at Chiefs, loss. Home against the Seahawks.
Loss.
At Chargers. Loss.
Loss.
Home against the Saints. Probably a loss. At the Cowboys.
Not definitely, but probably.
But probably. At the Cowboys.
Loss.
At the Saints.
Loss.
Home against the Panthers.
Loss.
They're losing. If they don't win this game, they're losing out. And if they win this game, they're going to lose out.
Yeah, they're either going to go 3-13 and four or 4-12.
Yeah, this is. If you took the Buccaneers season under, you're in a very good spot right now. I did not take that. Probably took the over, and I don't realize it. That's where my head's at today. Texans Jaguars 1 o'clock on CBS. Can't wait. This line has shifted. I think the Jags were favored by one.
Texans opened at -1. Oh,
okay,
and a half.
All right, okay. So Texans are -1.5. Still -1.5. That shouldn't be surprising, even if the Texans are the worst 5-3 football team leading a division in NFL history.
Man, I want to take the Jaguars here, buddy. I really do.
Jags are on my list too, man.
Full disclosure, we taped this pod at what five? It's like 5:45.
A little before 6 on Wednesday.
Right before 6 o'clock in the afternoon on Wednesday. So I'm going to reserve the right to change my mind on this one. I'll tweet out my picks this weekend. As of right now, I think I'm going to take the Jaguars, but they suck so badly that I think that I might want to roll with the public here and just lay the points with the Houston Texans.
I mean, you've seen Blake Bortles play football, right?
He's bad to the point we've talked. He pisses me off when I watch him play.
Yeah. He's not.
He sucks.
Yeah. But Pete Prisco said he. We talked about this last week. We were ranting about Blake Bortles last week. I don't like Brock Osweiler, but the Jaguars stink, and the Texans are. I mean, they did some damage 2 weeks ago. They're coming off a bye. They got the weapons. They put up points against bad defenses, and the Jaguars are a bad defense, and their offense is horrific.
I do think that Bortles is going to have a nice game this week.
Yeah, in the fourth quarter.
I think Allen Robinson scores a couple times.
Okay, all right. I'm pretty sure.
I'm leaning towards Jacksonville at the moment, but not ready to make a definitive pick.
I am. Pete Prisco is taking the Jaguars this week too. I am. I think I'm off the Jaguars, the 49ers, and the Browns for the rest of the year. I don't care. Make the line 30. I don't give a bleep. Just make it 30. I'm taking the other team. Broncos at Saints. A little spicy meatball here on a Sunday. That's a CBS game you'll be tuning into. 1 o'clock. Denver 6-3 now. Saints 4-4. The Saints are flat out in the playoff race.
There's no question. And pretty amazing given that they started 0-3 and were left for dead.
Yep. And Mark Ingram also left for dead, busted out in a big way last week. Denver's looked susceptible to the run. New Orleans is running the ball well. Drew Brees is playing well. They're obviously a better team at home. Because
Brees is amazing, man.
He really is. He's an underrated quarterback.
It's really crazy to think that a guy who's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer is underrated, but he is.
Pete and I, okay, you know what? I want to get your opinion on this. Did you listen? And it's okay. You can say no. Okay, you didn't listen.
Whatever it is, the answer is I don't listen.
You didn't
to
listen to the Tuesday show, this podcast.
No.
So Pete gets on this tangent.
I told you, I listened to nothing.
No, it's fine. I don't care. I didn't really listen to it either. Pete gets on this tangent and he's ranting on about Eli Manning and how Eli Manning is underappreciated. And we get not a fight, but I'm like, look, Pete, Eli Manning's not underappreciated. His last name is Manning and he has 2 Super Bowl rings and everybody thinks he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. How is he possibly underappreciated?
I disagree with Pete.
If anything, he's overrated.
I think that the appreciation for Eli is appropriate.
Right. Like Eli is properly rated.
Correct. I think Eli Manning is properly rated. I think that people recognize how good he's been at his ceiling and the fact that he's won 2 Super Bowls and beaten Belichick and Brady a couple times. And I also think that people recognize that when he's bad, he's really bad and has led the league in interceptions a couple times. So he's a very interesting case study. I personally think that he should go into the Hall of Fame. I also grew up a diehard fan of the New York Giants, so maybe my opinion is a little skewed, but I think Eli is properly rated.
My main argument about this is that I was like, look, Pete, I was like, who would you take, Phillip Rivers or Eli Manning? He's like, well, he had that.
I would take Eli.
I would take Rivers. And so would Pete, but he hesitated because he knew I caught him in an argument. And so he's like, well, I mean, it's close. But I mean, my point is that all three.
Let me ask you a question.
Phillip Rivers is more underrated than Eli Manning.
I think that, yes, there's no question about it, because people have to ask the question, is Rivers a Hall of Famer?
Exactly, and that's my point, is if Rivers is rated underneath Eli, and they're basically the same guy, and I would take Rivers, and some people would take Eli, therefore, ergo, hence with, Eli Manning overrated, Philip Rivers underrated.
You know, one of my favorite gambling runs that I've gone on heaters in my entire life was the 2007 NFL playoffs when the Giants beat the Patriots in Super Bowl 42. I'm a Giants fan, right? I had the Giants on the money line in every game in the postseason. They were underdogs in every game. And one of my biggest bets, I had the Chargers plus 9.5 in the AFC Championship game in Foxborough. Patriots won 21-12. San Diego covered by a half point. I bring this up to ask you this question. I think that this might be my favorite what-if sports scenario of my entire life. I still feel to this day that if LaDainian Tomlinson and Phillip Rivers had both been fully healthy for that game, remember, Rivers played the game on a torn ACL.
Yeah, they beat Indianapolis.
And Tomlinson barely played in the game. I think the Chargers would have beaten the then 17-0 Patriots and played the Giants in the Super Bowl. And it's a totally different career arc for Rivers, for Tomlinson, for Norv Turner, for A.J. Smith. A lot of people in that Chargers organization. I thought the Chargers were on a roll at that point, and I think that there's no doubt in my mind that they would have won that game with a healthy Rivers and a healthy Tomlinson.
I think I had – wasn't that the game where there was – but weren't they going to win? And then there was
– fumble. No, they scored 12 points because they got into the red zone four times.
Right. Okay, no, that was the other time they lost the Patriots in the playoffs.
Oh, that was the year before 2000. No, that happened – yeah, the year that the Colts won the Super Bowl, San Diego 14-2, Patriots go in there,
yes.
Beat them.
Who fumbled? God, how am I forgetting this?
It was the Chargers safety fumbled. Brady threw a pick.
It was Weddle. Wasn't it Weddle?
No, it was someone whose first name starts with a D. He played there for a long time. Troy Brown stripped the ball. The Patriots recovered it. Go on to win 24-21. Then the Colts beat the Patriots 38-34 in the AFC Championship game in come-from-behind fashion.
That is a more amazing Nick Costas memory. I had a lot of money riding on the Chargers in that 06 game, and I cannot for the life of me remember who the player was, but
I'll bring it up. I'll know it as soon as I see it.
Okay. Well,
first name starts with a D. I guarantee it.
Well, I'm going to,
it was one of their safeties. He played there for like 8 years.
It was Drayton Florence.
No.
No, it wasn't. Marlon McCree?
No.
Donnie Edwards?
No. Donnie Edwards, a linebacker.
I'm just listing defensive players, but I'm listing. No, it was on an interception though. And then Troy Brown stripped the interception.
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get it right now. It's 2006 Chargers.
It's Drayton Florence.
It's not Drayton Florence.
That doesn't sound right either. God, who was it? Okay, anyway. All right, moving along.
I'll find it.
Okay, you find it and you tell us. Oh, my God. This game. What is this game doing?
So what do you think? Who do you think would have won?
The Chargers or Giants? Chargers.
The Chargers or Patriots. With that
I ride for the Chargers forever, man. Chargers. Yeah, I think the Chargers would have won. And then it flips everything. All of a sudden, Eli, maybe he's chasing Peyton. And Phillip Rivers comes out.
By the way, I think you're right. I think it was Marlon McCree.
I'll look up the Rams at Jets. This is just, why is this game being played? Why is this game happening?
I mean, do you like bad quarterback play?
It's Bryce Petty against Case Keenum /Jared Goff.
Do we know for sure that Petty's going to start?
I think Fitzpatrick's too hurt to play.
God almighty.
I like the under.
What's the under?
39.5. It was Marlon McCree. There's no way they're going to score 40 points in this, right?
No.
That's the over-under. It's 39.5.
No, but I have a strong take on who I like with the points.
Who do you like?
Who do you like?
If Bryce Petty's playing, I like the Rams.
It doesn't matter to me. Joe Namath could start a quarterback for the Jets.
The Jets have given up.
No, it's the Rams. Yeah. The Rams are a better team than the Jets, and I don't think it's particularly close. Like, the Jets are not going to score.
No, the Rams' defense is good.
The Rams' defense is good, and I think the Rams' offense is better than the Jets' offense right now.
Yeah, and Wilkerson and Richardson are, you know, doing their thing. So
don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care.
They don't care. Yeah, they're checked out. Exactly. Yeah, they're getting checks. So, yeah, and Richardson's just trying to stay healthy and get traded. Wilkerson's catching those checks. So, yeah, I'm with you. I like the Rams there. We're going to pause, take a quick commercial break, be back to talk about the 4 o'clock games in 1 second.
Hey, sports fans, if you're like me, you love a pickup basketball game or a round of golf with your friends. And maybe you thought an awkward jump shot or a few ugly swings were causing your chronic back pain. Truth is, you could be painfully wrong. Because if your back pain started before age 40 and has lasted longer than 3 months, it could point to an inflammatory condition called ankylosing spondylitis, or AS. To learn if your symptoms could signal AS, take a short quiz at asbackpainquiz.com. Then, talk to your doctor. Find out if you could be painfully wrong. This message is brought to you by AbbVie.
All right. This is a... Did I say spicy meatball already? Dolphins and Chargers. This is a win or go home game for both teams.
Yeah.
I love it. I love a good win or go home game. Both teams know it too. Chargers are 4-5, staring up at 3 6-win or 7-win teams. The Dolphins are 4-4. They know they can't win the division, but the wild card is in play. They got to win this one. Jay Ajayi, 646 yards on the season, almost all of them coming in the last 3 starts for him. But he's not even the biggest story. What about Melvin Gordon and his dominant running back play? Melvin Gordon is taking a big fat poop emoji on all the fantasy football guys at CBS Sports.
Well, not all of them.
Who did not?
Well, I think that's a Heath Cummings, Chris Towers thing.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. A statistical analysis has backfired on you.
Yeah.
I love Chris.
You know what I prefer to statistical analysis?
Eyeballs.
Eyeballs tell me.
I got in this argument with Jared Dubin, who writes for CBS on Eye on Football. I was like, look, I was saying that I think – you watch Melvin Gordon, and he's making runs he did not make last year.
Correct.
He's the most improved player in football.
Dude, I remember there was a time, a little Nick Costos backstory, when I graduated college, where I was really into sabermetrics with baseball. I'd read Moneyball, and I fell in love with it. And I like devoured baseball prospectuses. I read everything Bill James ever wrote. And I actually was the assistant GM of a minor league baseball team for a summer and got offered a job by the Yankees and the Toronto Blue Jays. And I decided to – went to work for SiriusXM instead. But I say that to give you this. I remember when the first ever Football Outsiders book came out and how excited I was to get it because I loved statistics with sports and football's my favorite sport. So I couldn't wait. It was 2005 following the 2004 season, Eli's rookie year. And I'm a Giants fan, right? And Eli was terrible his first couple games of his rookie year, but he got gradually better, better and better. And then in week 17, they beat the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. Eli on the final play of the game checks out of a pass, calls a run, Tiki runs it in, Giants win, and I leave the stadium that night saying, we got our quarterback of the future. I get Football Outsiders, and it tells me that Eli Manning's historical comparable is Billy Joe Tolliver, and he's never going to be any good. I close the book, I put it away, and that was it for me as far as football statistical analysis is concerned. It's so hard to statistically quantify football players for a variety of different reasons. I don't think it's bunk. I think there's stuff to be gained from it. I think our friends at Pro Football Focus do, by and large, a pretty good job. But if my eyeballs tell me something, that's what I'm going to trust, not what a stat tells me as far as football is concerned. It's not like baseball in that regard.
Right. Touchdown regression is a real thing. But you know what? Melvin Gordon's playing his ass off, and he's running like crazy. So is Jay Ajayi. I don't know if I love the Chargers -4 because I think Miami's pretty good. But I think this Chargers defense isn't getting the love it should be getting. I like the Chargers in this spot.
It's one of the easiest picks of the week. I'll take the points with the Miami Dolphins.
All right, that's cool. I'll take the Chargers again. I'm riding the Chargers. Chargers are my team this year. I think they're going to make the playoffs. Could happen. They get the. I think they get the Raiders and the.
What's their record? 4-5.
Mm-hmm.
They're two games behind. At least two games behind every team in their own division.
But they play two of those teams. I mean, the wild cards. The two wild cards are coming from the West.
The Chargers are not making the playoffs.
Okay. I think the Chargers could still win the division. Could happen.
That was a very, like, sanctimonious, okay. Like, okay, idiot.
I mean, it's a long shot, so I'm not going to sit here and, like, stump for it and be like, watch, it's going to happen. They could make a run. They played well. They could easily be 6-3. It wouldn't stun me if they won 6 games on down the
stretch. They could be 6-3. And if my sister had the male anatomy, she'd be my brother. She doesn't, and the Chargers aren't.
All right, Nick, let's test your early podcast theory, because the Arizona Cardinals are -13.5 at home.
Arizona.
Yeah, it's a lock, right?
I mean, I don't know if it's a lock, but I'm not taking the Niners.
Yeah, I'm not either. David Johnson.
This is going to be the game plan. Are you ready?
David Johnson, 45 carries.
Yes, I was going to say, do you remember Tecmo Bowl with 4 plays? Like, you'd have 2 run plays and 2 passing plays?
Yeah.
The Arizona Cardinals should only have 1 play in this game, and it should be handoff to David Johnson. Yeah. Carson Palmer should attempt 0 passes in this game.
Also, Bruce Arians has, like, a secret hatred for the 49ers. He likes to pound.
He loves sticking it to them.
Yeah, he does. So I like that spot. That's not a great game. That's on Fox, so we can make fun of it. The other game on Fox, I'm guessing they might call this America's Game of the Week. Cowboys at Steelers. Oh my God, the fan base is Steelers -2.5.
This is an easy one, Will.
It's a lock. It's the Steelers. You lock it up.
There's no question the Pittsburgh's going to win the game. Now,
the only concern is Jamie Eisenberg. I heard those. Listen to the Fantasy Football Today podcast. Very good podcast to get your fantasy information. He was looking at the numbers for Big Ben's second starts.
back from injury.
Yeah.
And yeah, we talked about it on the show today.
Okay. Yeah, he started the week. He lights it up, and it's value because the Cowboys wouldn't be at this number if the Steelers hadn't pooped themselves.
At some point, the Cowboys' defense is going to get ripped up, and it's going to be this.
And week. This is a ripe game for it. I like the Steelers might win by. This might be the Romo game.
I agree.
This is where the Steelers' defense does.
Did I give you my theory on this last week? What I think the Cowboys are waiting for, or no? The comparison to the Broncos last year.
Waiting for like a Brock to poop himself?
Correct. And I'm not saying it's like a full game poop, but like remember, week 17 last year, Patriots had lost to the Dolphins. Denver needed to beat San Diego to get home field throughout the playoffs. Brock struggles in the first half. They have an excuse to put Peyton back in. He leads them to victory. He plays in the postseason. If Dak goes out there and has a poor first half in this game or a poor game, I think that this could be the game where they turn. Maybe I don't think Romo is going to be active for this game because he's taking scout team reps in practice on Wednesday, and that generally means the guy's going to be inactive. But if Dak does not play well in this game, I could definitely see Romo starting the week after for the Cowboys.
There's also this potential, the way this could play out is, and this is not Dak plays poorly out of the gate so much as Steelers throw up top a couple times in their first couple of possessions and get the Cowboys to punt early, and they go up 21-0. It's totally possible. 21-0 in the first half, right? And then all of a sudden, the Cowboys' offense is not based on Ezekiel Elliott. It's based on Dak Prescott, and the Steelers start taking advantage. And Dak's got 185, one touchdown, three interceptions. And people are saying, all right, they played a really good team on the road. What happens if they have to do that in the playoffs? We can't win with that guy. And it's just Drudge siren, full effect, Romo alert, and it's just a week's worth of Jerry Jones quotes about, we just think Tony's finally healthy enough, we're going to make a decision to come game time, and it'll be
not
delightful.
Bad.
Thank you. This is a good week of games.
Yeah,
Seahawks at Patriots on Sunday night. That's another case I've been waiting all day for Sunday night.
Indeed.
Patriots -7.5. When I was typing out my picks on my phone or on the computer, whenever I was doing it, I was like, all right, I'm taking the Patriots until they don't cover. And then I was like, nope, no. This is the spot where you take the Seahawks if it's 7.5.
I give Seattle a chance to win this game outright.
They're good passing the ball. They just can't run the ball.
I am 100% taking the Seahawks with the points.
Yeah, it's not a bet. It can't be a best bet.
No, it will not be a best bet, no.
Right, but I'm with you. I like that. It's John Q. Public had a good week last week.
No Michael Bennett hurts.
Yeah. No Cam Chancellor hurts, too.
No Cam Chancellor hurts. I'll take the Seahawks. It's not going to be one of my best bets, most likely, but I do like Seattle to cover. Maybe we'll end up being one of my best bets. I don't know. We're doing this on Wednesday.
7.5 is too many points for a Seattle team in primetime. They're not going to get blown out by this. The defense has too much pride.
Well, like, here, but think, like, what's blown out, though? Like, they could lose by 10. Is that getting blown out?
Yeah, double digits is blown out.
If it was 27-17, that's not getting blown out.
Yeah, no, but if the Patriots only score 27, good job by the defense. You got to score 21. I mean, that's, you got to score 28. And finally, Bengals at the Giants on Monday night. Giants -2.5. I was listening to Bill Simmons' podcast while I was working out this week. You know, no big deal, just working out once a week. I'm fat joke, and he and Cousin Sal were trying to guess the lines. You know, like
is that a good podcast?
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I think they're both funny. I mean, it's an hour worth of sports that I can listen to, sports talk I can listen to. They
nice.
guess the lines without looking at them, which is a good gimmick. But they were like, you know what? One of these quarterbacks has to mess the bed on Monday night, and they're like, you know, it just feels like an Eli game. And I was like, yeah. I was like, wait, no. The other quarterback is Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton's not going to – Eli's not going to mess the bet on primetime while Andy Dalton throws up a huge performance. It's Andy Dalton messing the bet in primetime. Give me the Giants.
Yeah, I agree. I'm taking the Giants in this spot. Even though I think that A.J. Green's going to go for 9-1, 55-2 in this game, I think that Dalton will at some point turn into Andy Dalton, and I think that the Giants will win, and I think the Giants will cover.
I don't like the Giants as a football team, but I like them to win this game by 3 points.
I agree.
All right, fair enough. This has been the Roughing the Passer podcast for Nick Costos. I'm Will Brinson. Again, if you're listening, this is going to be up on Thursday morning. That's how we're going to do it for now on all the weeks. Hopefully, it'll be up, right? It'll be up Thursday morning so you can get it for your commute. If you've got questions about a line, you got questions about a pick, you got questions about an over-under, and you just want to talk some smack, tweet us at the Costos or at Will Brinson. Subscribe via iTunes. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys next week.